Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Well, I hope you're set for an hour of power, authenticity, and Jason Crabb. He's my guest this week here on Daniel Britt and Friends from a conversation we had in the fall of 2009. But here recently, Jason has walked away from Los Angeles, California with a 2010 Grammy Award in his category for this album we're going to hear today. But with music's highest award, Jason is grounded. He knows the important things of life, authenticity, family, the uncompromising message of the gospel of Christ. You're going to hear it in his music and from his heart directly. Stick around. It's an hour of fun. Let's get started from this self-titled project, Jason Crabb, right here on Daniel Britt and Friends.
I could bless the water, but it wouldn't turn to wine. Paint a picture of a sunset hanging there in your eyes. But it'd just be some compromise. Could write a million verses of words you've heard before. Steal some of Dylan's best, but it leave me wanting to say more. 'Cause there's so much more. When I look back, I don't even know myself. It blows my mind to think that I found grace in someone else. Lord, your grace is something else. Been blessed with more than I deserve. Oh, I'm smart enough to know that I've been handed something. Can't put a price on what it's worth. Baby, if you could love someone like me, there's no
guest is a voice that you will surely recognize, a voice and a force to be reckoned with, I'm telling you, in the gospel music world. And with such a family behind him, he can only succeed, I think, because the talent has proven itself. And in 2006,
The Cram family at the height of their game, which may be saying something. Height of their game, they stopped what they were doing as the Cram family and started doing sort of more individual type ministries. And this guy went solo, and I think we're glad he did. He has made a great mark in his preaching and singing and spreading the good news of the gospel around the country and around the world. His name is Jason Crabb. He's here now. Hey,
wow.
Jason.
Well, how do I even start with that introduction?
And that's just off the top of my head. If we did some research, we could go through and
Daniel, no, we don't need no. You don't need no research, man. It's good to be with you today. As you was even talking, I was just kind of going back and remembering some of that stuff.
Yeah, I remember we were at the National Quartet Convention 2006, I think it was, and honestly, that was my first quartet convention.
Yeah,
and you guys had just come off the stage, and they brought you right back to my room, and you were still in your suits and ties and everything, looking $1 million. And at that point, you all were sitting down saying, I guess, you know, what do we do next type thing?
Yeah.
And it's probably scary at that point, wasn't it?
It really was. I mean, you know, we had been singing together now for 15 years.
Wow.
On the road, traveling probably 250 dates plus, you know, just crazy, you know, running the roads like we were. Mm-hmm. And we had just gotten to a place where, I mean, everybody gets there in their life, you know, especially if you're in this kind of, this industry.
Yeah.
You get to a seasonal thing, and you're like, okay, do we just keep on going, or do we change it up a little bit? And, you know, everybody had immediate families, and, you know, that they, children, you know, at home. And
exactly.
Man, that would, if we'd have brought all the kids out at once, we would have had to have 3 daycare buses. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It just got that way.
As it was, you had 2 buses, right?
We had 2.
Yeah.
So we was outgrowing ourselves. I mean, if you want the honest truth, you know, and nobody wanted to stay at home. You know, I didn't want my kids at home. And
was it hard from a fan standpoint, like receiving the letters and the support, like almost like a please don't go, please don't disband as the Crab family?
You know, it was, but it was very understandable with the people. They kind of got it, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you we're not going to get back together someday. You
and
know?
That's what I love about it. I mean, you got. I don't feel any tension, and there's no awkwardness if I.
No.
If you know, because you guys are family and you love each other, and sometimes you may think there's some underlying stuff that causes those retirements or those hanging it ups or whatever, but
and it wasn't
you guys,
here.
It was mutual all across the board.
It was kind of. It was. I would say it was mutual. I'm the one that walked up and said, okay, this is where we're at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, this is where I'm going. And it was kind of hard a little bit at first for them, but now they see. And God's grown them so much. But it wasn't like anybody was mad or frustrated at anybody. It was
right.
It was growing pains, you know, and that's kind of where we got to. Everybody covets, everybody lies, everybody's done it sometime in their lives, and we all slip. We don't mean to, that don't mean you can't make it right. It's a path you take, the steps you make that make you who you are. It's a life you live, the gifts you give, the love that's in your heart. Just try to do the best you can to be a better man. You don't have to walk on water. It's how you walk on land. Everybody judges, everybody else. Everybody's done it to everyone but themselves. Know what's right, but we still go wrong.
don't have to walk on water. Oh, that's how you walk on land. It's a path you take, the steps you
been out on your own doing solo and evangelism. The sound hasn't changed a whole lot. I mean, we still got the Jason Crabb tones, and the people are concerned about your voice that maybe because it's so strong, that will it always be that strong? But they love it. That's what you have as a signature with Crabb Family, and you've kept that going in the sound, I think, today.
That's kind of scary. I mean, nobody knows really if their voice are going to hang out there, you know. Long and but man, I remember the first time I'd get up on stage and sing, and I really was, during the first years of our singing, you know, traveling and singing, I was singing too hard.
Yeah,
I really was, and I let anybody know that, and people was letting me know it. People said, well, I'll give him another year, he ain't gonna be able to sing. And man, I got on my knees, and this is the truth, Daniel, I got on my knees and asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to give you 110% every time. You're going to have to keep me. And you know what? He's done a good job.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I can't say that I've done a good job 110% every time.
Yeah.
I've tried. You know, but he's kept me. And so I think you learn, you know, the older you get, the wiser you get with all of that. You know, you learn the tricks of it, and you learn that you can't do the things you used to do when you was young, you know. So,
well, if you're going to give 110 in a singing performance, maybe you cut back during the day on speaking.
And that's very important, too, because your talking is 100% of what your singing voice is going to be. Huh. A lot of people don't know that.
Wow.
But when you get tired and you talk like down here, you know, instead of here,
right?
You know, those rubs those vocal cords together. It's the worst thing that can happen. I've been talking there all night because I'm tired.
I started on this journey so many years ago. I've come through grief and sorrow as I've traveled down life's road. I've pressed through times of trouble, got up each time I'd fall. But through tears and disappointments, it's been worth it all. Every heartache, every trial, I'd do it all again. To get to where I'm going and to stand here where I am. I'm running for the finish line, but should I have to crawl? On my knees I claim the victory, shouting it is worth it all. I see the lights before me, I know I'm nearing home. I know who walks beside me, cause I've never been alone. Each time my heart grew faint within me, I could hear the Savior call. Travel on a little farther, child, it'll soon be worth it all. Every heartache, every trial, I do it all again. To get to where I'm going and to stand here where I am. I'm running for the finish line, should I have to fall? On my knees I claim the victory, shouting it is worth it all, yeah.
shouting, it is worth it all. I'm playing the victory and shouting, it is worth it all.
The new project that you have out came out in June of 09, and tell me where you went stylistically with it. Because I haven't heard it, and I'll just be honest right up front. I have not heard the project we're going to hear on the show.
Daniel, it's you know what? I'm glad you ain't heard it yet, you know? Because I want you to be able to listen to it doing this. It's really neat. You know, it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time. What I did was I just went after songs. You know, I went after lyrics. I went after, you know, that first. Not sounds or styles or anything else. I just went after songs. And I found myself recording a lot of, you know, kind of like story songs, you know, back day, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I did. Dad wrote three of the tunes on there. We recut Through the Fire because I'm going to be singing that until the day I take the dirt nap, I think.
Right, right.
And so I think it was time for a fresh track on that one.
Sure.
Even though I had to carry a band with me, you know, we still, you know. But we did that. We did Ellsworth, Kansas, which is a song that talks about Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Gill came in and sang back up on that, which was kind of neat. The vocal band came in and sang on Daystar.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, I don't think people's going to find it much different than old Crab Family stuff, you know, at all.
And you're true to who you are and in your your Kentucky roots and family and all that we have for us. That makes sense. Let me ask this. Most people probably, I don't think any of us totally understand it, but we can agree with what Hovey Lister said. Is it ministry? Is it entertainment? And it's yes to both.
Mm-hmm.
But you've taken it maybe a step maybe further or maybe a step also in a different direction by incorporating full-on preaching in with your music and evangelism. And you want to talk about that some?
Wow. You know,
you told me back in 06 that you had that call.
Here's one of the things. It's wild. You know, I've got a song going to country radio right now off the record.
Yeah.
And then I've got a song that is on Southern. And I'll walk in and I'll preach at a youth rally.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people are going, what's up with that?
Yeah.
But I don't like a box. You know, I don't like cookie cutter things.
Right, right, right.
You know, it hurts my feelings when I don't get involved.
Yeah, yeah.
When I'm not involved, you know, it does that to me. But I'm pretty much know that who I am. I'm not wanting to be a country music, but you think that I'm going to turn the opportunity down to pitch a song that I sing in church every night
to
a country that people are going, man, that needs to go. And one of the big radio promoters said, we want to go after that song. And so, yeah, I'm going to go. Honestly, I can't believe I'm getting ready to say this in a live interview, but I'm going to say it anyways. You know, I remember when we first started, we went to, you know, the Grand Ole Opry. Mm-hmm. First thing was happening. People that, you know, wanted to throw stones, they started throwing them.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going country. They're going country.
Yeah.
Hey, I was country a long time ago. I grew up in Beaverdam, Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's country.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Yeah.
Style of music, that's where it was.
Yeah.
But my relationship with Christ is no different.
Yeah.
Stronger probably, you know. My zeal, my desire is wanting to be stronger. And I remember sitting down before I did this record, I sat down with a lot of different artists, a lot of different record companies, I mean. And the guy said, you know, I went to a major label, mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, we'll sign you. And we want to do you this kind of record. And you can do a few of these songs. We want you to do this and this. And you know you're going to have to go sing in bars. Hmm. And I said, no, I'm not going to have to. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I turned probably a really good deal down.
Yeah.
But but the thing about it is, inside of me, I was going, the best work that I would ever do would be inside there.
Right, right.
If we were really following the path of Christ, that's where he'd be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For a church kid, it's tough to swallow, isn't it?
Well,
it's a tough pill to swallow if you...
Oh, my goodness. And for the church, it's hard.
Yeah.
I said, there's no way that my name could show up on a billboard, and Jason Crabb singing it. Wild Horse Saloon.
What
I'm saying?
Sure.
And then down the road, I'm doing a youth rally the next night.
Yeah.
Now, Christ,
he'd
be at the tax collector's house.
Exactly.
He'd be at the, you know what I'm saying? Those type of people, the prostitutes. He ministered to those, but church have a tough time doing it. So I had to make a decision and say, no, I can't do that, but if I ever get the opportunity, I'm going to send a song that direction.
Sure, sure.
Grandma burned the biscuits, nearly took the house down with it. Now she's in assisted living. We all knew that day would come. Knew she was too gone to drive. The day she parked on I-65, found her on the shore to cry. She didn't know where she was. It's like her mind just quit. But you bring up Grandpa, it's like someone flipped a switch. A front porch light and a blue disorder. Couple of straws and a Coca-Cola. We could see it all going down. She did today. Just ask about Ellsworth, Kansas, 1948. She takes out his medals, a cigar box of letters, sits and scatters pictures. Black and whites of days gone by. We started losing her when she lost him. To hear her carry on and swear she's 17 again. Football games and leaves are crackling. Walking her home in his leather jacket. You could see it all going down. Glider, saying goodnight for the next 3 hours. Her tired eyes grow wide and bright when she talks about that town. Tomorrow she won't remember what she did today. Just ask about Ellsworth, Kansas, 1948. About Ellsworth, Kansas, 1948.
We talk about music a lot in these interviews, and that's what it's about. But because our music is what it is, and it's message driven.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess the word revelation. Have you had any revelations lately? Has God shown you something new? Whether it be what you were just talking about, or just something even off the subject we've been talking about. That you think somebody else might benefit from?
I think there is a revelation that we've gotten away. Luke Luke chapter 12 talks about the fear of the Lord. Jesus said, you know, don't fear the, you know, beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and don't fear those that can, you know, that can kill you.
Yeah.
But fear those that can kill you. Fear the one that can kill you and send you to hell.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
He said, and that's the words in the big red. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's
right,
in the red.
Right.
That's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
And that's hit me here lately a lot, you know. And then you go on, flip over, you know, in the 16th chapters of Luke, it talks about, you know, the rich man, the parable, the rich man, mm-hmm. and Lazarus, you know, as the poor man, the beggar lays in Abraham's bosom,
mm-hmm.
and Lazarus is looking up, you know, and saying, man, send him to just, you know, dip his finger in water and just dampen my tongue. And then there was something else that catches me every time. He said, well, at least raise him from the dead and send him to go talk to my brothers and my family and tell them not to come here. Wow. And that's something that don't get preached a lot. You know, today we're very, very sensitive. We're very seekers, you know, sensitive.
Sure.
You know, we're scared that we're going to step on somebody's toes. And you know what? The last three messages I preached has been on hell. That don't sound right from a kid that's singing a song to country.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
exactly. Exactly right.
But you know, hell's still real, yeah. and heaven's real, and the choice is yours. And that's what I've been preaching. You know, you might, I could hear somebody out there, what is that boy? Where's he at? You know?
Yeah.
But that.
All over the place, huh?
But rooted.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, and that's, if you look at the Bible, you got a big, big, big message there in the whole counsel of God. But then you have a very central message that you focus in on, which is the death, burial, resurrection, and the heaven, hell stuff there.
Yeah.
But then you've got Proverbs, you've got all kind of parables, you get all this, you know, it is a handbook for living, so you got all this other stuff there in the Bible too. So while it's a big message, there's the central thing, and that's where you're rooted at.
You know, and the thing that's going around right now is there is a doctrine or a theology that's going around that there is no hell,
yeah.
and that we're all little gods, and we're the ones that decide whether, you know, we go to heaven. Well, that's nowhere close.
Yeah.
You know, that's just somebody just trying to pad their lifestyle, you know, with whatever kind of reading between the lines and kind of theology and doctrine and that kind of thing. You know, they want to think up. It's just a religion to fit them.
Right.
But, you know, if you truthfully believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he was crucified, you've got to believe that hell was mentioned 54 times in the scripture.
Hmm.
You know, he talked about that more than he did heaven. Why? Because he didn't want you to go there.
Exactly.
It's your choice.
Final part is over now. The healing part is finally started. The truth is told, the wound was cold as ice. But scars that heal grow back even stronger. We've been apart for way too long. At a crossroads, meet me at forever's end. We'll find new love again. Where the walls of time grow paper thin, meet me there at forever's end. It's there we can begin to knock down the walls and turn a new. Thank you.
I've not been to any of your youth rallies, but if I would take a guess, and you can correct me here, but let me make an assumption. You go with who you are, and you preach to these kids, and they listen. Maybe because you're young, but I think probably because you're rooted, but the word authentic comes to mind. And I guess if I unpack that a little bit, it's you're true to yourself, you're true to who you are growing up in Beaver Dam, Kentucky, and doing Crab Family music. And most people would probably admit gospel music is usually for a more mature audience, older audience. So youth rally, Southern gospel usually doesn't go hand in hand. But having said that, you draw on those the roots of your upbringing, I think, and I guess what I'm trying to say is the kids see that, so it's not a show you're trying to put on.
Kids are pretty smart. You can't.
They have a radar, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and they're not really about the fluff, and in some areas, when it's down to earth, truth and facts. You can't mix fluff and facts.
Yeah.
But now in their music, yeah, they love all the bells and whistles and signs and smoke and lights and all that kind of stuff. But what's your underlying message?
Yeah.
They get it.
Yeah.
And if you try to hide that with all of that, you know, it's not going to work. But with that said, I think we try to be hands-on. Try to be, you know, who we are in front of them. I let them know firsthand I'm the least of any person in that building. I don't deserve an ounce of anything that I have. Actually, I deserve a whole lot less than I have. I deserve hell. But besides all of that, I mean, you know, and when you get to that place with them and let them know that you're as real and you're not trying to be that, something else to them, they will listen.
That's good.
One of the things, another key is you got to show them that you actually care about them before they'll listen to you.
Yeah, you know, and you can't just try to trick them into thinking you care.
Yeah, because they'll get it.
Yeah.
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 There's more involved, you know. It takes a minute to catch them.
Yeah.
But God has given, you know, and you know what? You know the best tool to reach a young person is share your life and what God has done.
Yeah.
Share maybe something that's happened or something, somebody, a friend or something. You know, I had it's just best that way. And
isn't that what Jesus did?
That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did.
What's the name of your project, by the way?
Self-titled.
There you go.
Jason Crabb, that's what the record company wanted to do. A self-titled record, and it's really neat. Tommy Sims produced part of it. Norrell produced part of it. Norrell Wilson. Neil Thrasher, which has written some mega songs. I mean, mega songs. He wrote a couple of tunes on there. Dad, he pinned out three.
Yeah.
And
he still got it, doesn't he?
Oh, my gosh. When he hits a good one, he hits a good one. And that's Sometimes I Cry on the record. It's just what we're talking about, down to earth. Bam, there it is, you know.
Did you write any?
Not on this one.
This one.
I wanted it to be good.
This is not your first solo, is it?
Oh, this is the first one.
This is the absolute
very first one.
So why so long to come out with one?
A couple of reasons. One, I wanted to find the right record company. I wanted to be with the right people that kind of got my vision.
Yeah.
Spring Hill caught it. I mean, I'm telling you, they caught it.
Yeah.
They brought, Barry Jennings and Paul Sizelove and Bill Carter and Bill Gaither and Celeste and my manager, Philip Morris. We all got together and we started talking and man, they caught it. Like a lot of other people didn't catch it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They went after it and I felt it was safe and so. And then the songs. And Bill Carter said, you need a good song guy. And so we got Norrell Wilson out and we went to Sony BMG and, you know, and all these big places. I'd never got to go without him.
Right.
But
right.
He went and got some songs for us. And I'm so thankful to be with Spring Hill. I absolutely love them.
Do you sing just stand up and sing, or do you play when you're doing concerts?
We got a band that travels with us the whole time. Every place we go, I got a bass, drummer, and keys, and me. I play guitar, and they go every place we go.
What's the most fun song on there that you just had the best time? Maybe starting off the show with, or it's just your
Hope For Me Yet.
Yeah.
It's probably one of my favorites. It's a Mark Bouchard song. He's like, you know, he's a guy that, but Gordon Moat said, you've got to hear this song. He said, the first verse, you know, you can kind of sing to your wife or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said, but the second verse, man, is just so about God.
Yeah.
About, you know, when he believes in you, you know, there is hope for us. And so I did it. And then in concerts, you know, I sing it a little different than what I did on the record.
Right. Hey.
Use a couple of different, but I sing it in church. And
Yeah,
I open up with it.
People love it?
Yeah, it's a great tune.
You think the story songs you did, that they pretty much all tell that message of hope, maybe in different ways?
Yeah, in different situations, in different ways. You know, we got one that's called Somebody Like Me, which is a single out that just went out to a different radio. It says, a congregation parted like the Red Sea as that old drunk stumbled in down the aisle and took a seat. Martin's just released a version of it to Southern. It said, parted like the Red Sea as that old drunk stumbled in down the aisle and took a seat right in the middle of Amazing Grace. Mm. He could see the judgment they were passing, thought to himself, ain't that just how some folks acting? Mm-hmm. He'd rather be on the street than in this place. And it says, you think somebody would have put their arm around him. You think somebody would have hit a knee. You think somebody would have practiced what they've been preaching. Oh, yeah, it should have been somebody like me.
Well, that'll hit you between the eyes, won't it?
Yeah.
Man.
It's like my little girl, you know. The other day I walked out, and we was in a spaghetti factory, and there was a homeless guy that was out on the street, and he asked for some change, and all I had was a dollar. Mm-hmm. And so I give her the dollar to give to him. Mm-hmm. She handed it to him. And I could see her little mind. Wheels started turning. She started asking all these questions. And my wife, Shelly, just an absolute gorgeous woman and beautiful mother. She's just perfect lady. And she started talking to her and said, well, honey, you know, people are like this because they get addicted to certain things, you know, and it draws them to that, and they lose everything that they have. And she's trying to explain to him, you know, why didn't this guy have a home? You know, so she's trying to talk to him about it. And then she finally says, she says this, she says, well, that's why we tell you girls about Jesus, because he helps us, you know, through all these, makes good decisions.
Right.
And my little six-year-old girl turns around and says, well, Mama, Daddy, why didn't we tell him about Jesus? Hmm. And I went, oh, golly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like they hit you right between the eyes, and that's the kind of stuff we got on this record.
The congregation parted like the Red Sea when that old drunk stumbled in down the aisle and took a seat right in the middle of Grace. He could feel the judgment they were passing. Thought to himself, ain't that just how some folks act? He'd rather be on the street than in this place. Ooh, and with tears on his face. Stood up, they don't.
don't want to make a scene, so they let him walk out of there.
Had a problem, but it just seems like so much. I don't know, maybe it's just as each of us mature in our different stages in life, it just seems like that's one thing that just jumps out is the way we treat other people, as if we had no sin in our own life, you know.
Yeah,
you know, as if we weren't in that same position. Maybe not the same exact story, but a parallel story.
And that's the one thing Jesus preached on more than anything.
Yeah,
I mean, anything. He would try to teach the disciples, and he was like, okay, look, you can't be like these guys.
Yeah.
They're the ones that think they know it all. They're the ones that think they've got it all together. They're the ones that think that, you know, the sun sets and rises with them, and it's not the truth. They got it all wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all in the heart, man. It's all who you are, you know. And I've seen even denominations like that. I've seen not just people, but certain denominations that do that, you know, and man, it's just sad. That ain't what Christ was about at all.
And it's a bad cycle, because as soon as you get it and you realize maybe I was one that was passing judgment, and then you get angry, and then you become maybe radical, and you try to get away from that, then you get that anger, then starts becoming towards other people who are judgmental, and then you're just as bad as they are. It becomes a cycle.
It's a very vicious cycle. You can't, you got to see it for what it is, recognize it, and not be it.
Yeah.
You know, not be mad at people about it, although it does frustrate you.
It is,
It's frustrating, especially when somebody treats somebody else poorly.
Sure.
You know, then we want to go too lenient sometimes, but that's the neat thing about this walk with Christ. He don't expect us to have it all together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's, he's the one that had it all together, not us, you know, and we just got to accept that grace and mercy.
You know, you got the song on your record. You mentioned the Martins had the song on theirs. You ought to both just sing a lick, because we need a double dose of that message, I think. It'd be good. Every other song, play it, you know.
We're giving it all we got.
Everybody covets. Everybody lies. Everybody's done it
sometime in their lives, and we all slip. We don't mean to, that don't mean you can't make it right. It's a path you take, the steps you make that make you who you are. It's a life you live, the gifts you get, the love that's in your heart. Just try to do the best you can to be a better man. You don't have to walk on water, it's how you walk on land. Everybody judges everybody else. Everybody's done it to everyone but themselves. We know what's right, but we still go wrong, and life still goes on even when we fail. Steps you make that make you who you are. It's the life you live, the gifts you give, the love that's in your heart. Just try to do the best you can to be a better man. You don't have to walk on water, all the time.
Jason Crabb is with us, and Jason Crabb is the title of the project. And you got a website, I guess?
Oh, yeah. You can go on jasoncrabb.com and get that. You can download it on iTunes. You can go that, or whatever that, Amazon.com types of things. You know, your local Christian bookstores is where I'd really love for you to go to your local Christian bookstores and buy it.
Aren't they struggling? They're,
well, you know.
Some of these, we need to support them because I think
the Christian community, you know, ought to go out and try to do that. Try to support them, you know. And because if not, they're going to be like the, remember the old small business?
Yeah, exactly.
And the little small businesses and. The Giants came in and took them over, you know, and undercut them on everything. And
that's true.
We don't want that for our Christian bookstores.
And it's a you talk about relational in the Christian walk, even in the business sense. It's a very relational thing between producing a project, taking the product, putting it in retail, sending it to radio, and getting it into the hands of people who want to hear it and people who need to hear it. Spring Hill, I know, is one of the top companies in our business, and it's good to see they've recognized your talent, and
well,
it's a mutual thing there.
I thank God for somebody fooling them. I love them, and I'm very thankful for it. Yeah. I really am. But it's a great home, and I just love everyone over there, and very happy about being a part of this.
I pray, Jesus. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, yes, lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. Let your words speak to me. Show
change your view on life or what?
Oh my Lord.
You thought you had it figured out, right? And then you had kids.
Every bit of it's changed. You know, when I had some kids, you know, two girls, when they call and say, Daddy, when are you going to be home?
Isn't that tough?
That's tough. And they got school and they got cheerleading and they got, this week they're working on a float for Spirit Week, you know, and they got this and that, and they don't want to miss. And I'm sitting here going, that gets pretty tough sometimes.
I don't travel like you guys do, but I could see where that, you know, the grounding that we've talked about, that's where that would be important, because if you didn't know what you were called to do and were just taking guesses and stabs in the dark, that would be that you'd be all over the board, between family and work and ministry and.
Be like a little puppy dog with his tail on fire and couldn't find a water hole. I mean, that's the truth,
right.
You know.
That's the truth.
And pretty miserable, you know, and all that. So running around, you know. But I'm very thankful, you know, where we're at today, and very thankful where this ministry is, because we kind of feel it, you know. We're right where we need to be.
And the Best of the Cramp Family DVD just came out not long ago, didn't it?
Yeah.
And
Bill Gaither hosted it.
Did that just open up? Were you surprised at the amount of response you got from people who had never even heard of you after that? That there was a whole other audience that were interested
in
you?
Yeah, I was flying in for a wedding and was singing at a wedding, actually. You know what? I was flying in for a funeral.
Oh.
Yeah, for a funeral. Wedding, funeral, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Honey, I'm kidding. We were flying in for a funeral, and we flew into this little town in Mississippi, stopped at a Burger King. We were starving, hadn't had anything to eat, and it was probably 3:30, 4 o'clock. And so went in, and I'm sitting there getting a drink, and this woman goes, "Are you who I think you are?" And I said, I don't know. She said, "You want them crabs, aren't you? I've been seeing you on that TV." And so I just chuckled. I said, "Yes, ma'am," and introduced myself, and she introduced herself and turned around, and now I start to put the lid on my Coke, you know, that I just had fixed. And
yeah.
Lady with another bag, she goes, I've been seeing you on that Gator thing, you know, and my piano player was standing behind me, and he goes, where are we at? He said, we need to book us a date right here.
That's right.
You know, so it's kind of neat, you know.
People can get in contact with you and get the project, and they need to do that. Run, don't walk to get it.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be all right.
JasonCrabb.com?
JasonCrabb.com, two Bs.
Yeah.
Real crabby.
Yeah.
But thank you, Daniel, for this. This is wonderful.
You and your family are sweet people, and you keep singing, and we'll keep listening. And I saw you the other day, and we were a bunch of artists together, and it's not knocking any other artists who's on that stage, but when you took the stage, there's something electric about your voice, man. You sing with conviction. And,
oh, man. Thanks, bro.
And you can't, I don't think you can fake that.
Well, it's a high thank God, you know, it's he's been good to me, and I love him, and I really do. I really do love him.
Jason Crabb, our guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, buddy.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.